All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is December 21st, year 2008, and it's the fourth Sunday in Advent. Today normally would have been the feast day of the Apostle St. Thomas, but it was transferred to the first ferial day during the week, which happens to be this Tuesday. So that's when we're celebrating the feast day of the Apostle St. Thomas. All right, now we're going to continue on with my teachings on the book of the Apocalypse, and we're going to speak today about the destruction of the harlot in Apocalypse book 18. And you're going to learn in that chapter condition and the nature of this harlot and how she's going to be destroyed. One of the things to keep in mind when we're going to be going over this is you're going to learn that this harlot in Apocalypse 18, which we spoke about in the past weeks, is the United States of America, whose capital is New York City. That's the epicenter of the harlot, where all her major corrupting of the world takes place through New York City, which is her main power base. Financial and political power base is really in New York City. But it represents the whole United States of America. That's what you're going to hear when we're going to be reading Apocalypse 18. Keep that in mind. This is the harlot that the Antichrist needs to bring him to power. And then when the Antichrist no longer needs this harlot, he throws him off her back by destroying her with limited nuclear strikes, eats her flesh and burns her with fire. We went into that last week. But what you're going to find out about this harlot is, when you're reading here, is that she rests in confidence and in security and in plenty and in luxury. These are all marks of the harlot, which I call, from all external appearances from a carnal man, that looks like a very prosperous, and she's very prosperous. And to a lot of carnal people, they think that that means God is blessing them. Now, this is a very important thing to drive home, because I call that false prosperity. Now, there is a prosperity in which God does bless his chosen people, and they do have plenty. But there's a different type of prosperity also that God curses people with. That's the kind of prosperity the United States has, because it doesn't really have true peace. Because this harlot is also the home of every false religion, which includes every form of the occult and every form of immorality. And she spreads this corruption throughout the whole world to poison the world more than it already is. The world is already corrupted. She just goes out and corrupts it even more so, to the point where some of these other countries, these other nations, become even worse than the United States, if possible. Equal or even worse. But this corruption comes from the United States, and she spoils the world with this luxury, this false prosperity, with false religions, with the occult, with immorality. So keep this in mind now. Remember King David in Psalm 72? He was a little bit confounded when he was looking at his enemies, and they were very prosperous, and they lived in long old ages, and he was being persecuted. And he said, "How is it, Lord, that I, who am your faithful servant, suffer in servitude, and I'm not prospering like these wicked people who are prospering?" And then he says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord and contemplated their final end." Psalm 72. We're now going to contemplate the final end of this harlot. She looks like she's been very prosperous and very powerful and very strong. But first of all, it was necessary anyway for that to happen to bring Antichrist to power. But you're going to learn it's a false prosperity. It's a false confidence. She has confidence. And she's secure. But she doesn't have real peace. It never really did. If you look at the condition of the people in the United States and turn on your local news, she doesn't have real peace. But she does have prosperity and does have plenty. And she does have luxury. She has all these things, this harlot. Now, you could have went back and said even the times of Abraham, when God chose Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees and his motley crew of 72 or how many they were when they left the Ur of Chaldees. And then he went into Egypt, which was prosperous at that time. You would have thought that Egypt was the country being blessed by God, but it wasn't. Egypt was steeped into paganism, and it wasn't blessed by God. But it had an empire which was prosperous like the United States. Look at pagan Rome. The pagan Roman Empire was full of paganism and immorality, and it conquered the world. So prosperity is not always a sign that you're being blessed by God. And this is what fooled a lot of the people who are worthy of being fooled, these so-called Catholics, these nominal Catholics and bad Catholics, when the United States came to power and started to look at her as some type of a new Messiah, a new blessing to the world. And so all these wicked and rotten popes, these wicked and rotten bishops, these wicked and rotten priests, these wicked and rotten Catholics started to look to the United States as some type of a blessed country when she was really under a curse from God. And why did they look at it that way? Because she was prospering, because she was coming to power. But they should have known better if they read the scriptures, that for Antichrist to come to power, he has to dominate the world and have that type of power. But if they knew the scriptures, they would have known that the Egyptians were, from all external appearances, looked to be more prosperous than Abraham and his motley crew and the pagan Roman Empire at that time. But they were very evil entities. All right. So God is using this harlot, yes, to punish wicked Catholics because they deserve it. But in the end, she's going to get destroyed, and you're going to read it's the Antichrist who destroys her. And then after all that happens, then Christ destroys the Antichrist. We're going to get into that later on. But today we're going to be talking about, and we're going to read from the book of the Apocalypse, and you're going to see how she's the home of every false religion, of every occult, which includes every form of the occult, and every form of immorality. And she has all plenty. And we're going to read about it. And the chapter really speaks for itself. So we're going to start out with Apocalypse chapter 18, verse 1, and we're going to go right through it now. All right, verse 1 says, and this is after he says, we're just going to finish Apocalypse 17, 18, and we're going to read, and the woman which thou sawest is the great city, which hath kingdom over all the kings of the earth. And we said that last week, or it was 2 weeks ago, that who dominates the world today? The United States of America. And what is her real main home power base? It's New York City. And it says, and now we go to chapter 1, Apocalypse, verse 1, Apocalypse 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was enlightened with his glory. And he cried out with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Now he's telling St. John, she's going to fall. I'm going to show you her fall, but I'm going to also describe to you some of her traits. But she's fallen. And that's when David could say, now I went into the sanctuary and understood, Lord. You lifted them up so that you may throw them down all the more harder. Because the more you're lifted up in your pride and arrogance and prosperity, the harder you fall. And then he goes, and he cried out with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every unclean spirit, and the hold of every unclean and hateful bird. Okay, hold of devils. That means every false religion, which includes all the occultic religions, all the religions, witchcraft, all forms of witchcraft are being propagated in the United States. White witchcraft, black witchcraft, crystal gazing, Wicca, call it what you want. They have the Kabbalah, very big in the United States, which is witchcraft. That's really warlocks. These Jews that are practicing the Kabbalah, that's witchcraft. That's all it is. And people are going to the Kabbalah. They're turning over to the Santeria, Brujeria, and Voodoo. Every form of the occult is in here. Every false religion is in here. She's the home of all these things. And she propagates them throughout the world and makes sure that all these other nations that aren't allowing all these things, or only a few of these things, well, you better start allowing all these things now, because the harlot is telling you that all these things have equal rights and all religions are equal to one another and have equal rights. So you all better go out there and allow everybody to practice whatever false religion they want or whatever form of the cult they want. And the United States plays, this harlot plays the policeman to the world to make sure that they allow those things to be even worse than they are in these other countries. She's the home of every form of the occult, every false religion. And it says every unclean spirit, which we're talking about now, all these sins of immorality against the natural law. Unclean spirits, homosexuality, feminism, thievery. It's all over. This country was born by thieves. It's run by thieves. All your big corporate execs and everybody to get any real power in this country has to be a thief, or he doesn't enter. And I just want to go back and mention one of the witchcraft groups is also the occultic secret societies. That's all witchcraft. That's all black magic, such as the Freemasons. It's all black magic. It's all occultic. That's another form of the occult. But now also this harlot corrupts the world with immoralities against the natural law. We just said homosexuality. We're talking about feminism. We're talking about effeminacy. We're talking about thievery. We're talking about murdering. We're talking about envying. We're talking about greed. All the things St. Paul says is you're going to see in these final days. The home base is the United States, and Hollywood is one of the major propagators of this filth. Pornography all over the place. Pushing pornography throughout the world. All right. This is the United States. And when she ends up corrupting other countries, they become, if not equal, even worse than her. But she's the policeman. She's the one that goes around and says, is anybody being a little bit moral in this country like some of these Muslim countries? Now, I don't justify the Muslims. I always tell you people, they're infidels. And they're going to go to hell if they die that way. But they're not as evil as the United States of America. And America looks over at these countries and says, hey, you know, women are still submissive to their husbands. They don't like homosexuality. And they don't like pornography. Let's go into those countries and bring in homosexuality. Bring in feminism. Bring in pornography. So we can corrupt these Muslims even worse. So that if there was any hope to convert any of these Muslims because they have some goodwill, no, my God, you're not going to make it a lot harder to convert them. Because once you corrupt somebody by making them go against his natural law with these addictive vices, it's very hard to convert them. But we're reading about this. And he cried out with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every unclean spirit, and the hold of every unclean and hateful bird. You're also going to learn that Americanism and religious liberty, which infected Rome, and I always say Rome's also a harlot too, because she's an extension of the United States. The United States, so-called Catholic bishops who really weren't, like Cardinal and King and Gibbons and Ireland, these guys were notorious heretics, and they spread their Americanism into Rome, and Rome caved under it. But now, we go on, verse 3. Because all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have been made rich by the power of her delicacies. She corrupts the whole world. She dominates the whole world with her economy, and that's how she bribes people and how she gets them under her power, by offering them wealth, material wealth, all right, and luxuries. And because the kings lusted after these things more than the spirit and the things of God, they were bribed by this harlot, and they were made powerful by this harlot, and they were kept in power by the harlot. And if the United States of America doesn't like one of these foreign leaders because he goes wrong, they have him knocked out, they put another one in who's going to go along with their plans. Now, how do we know that the United States dominates the merchants of the earth? Recently, we have examples. When the gas prices started to go up, when the mortgage crisis came about, and when some of the banks started to close up, the whole world panicked. Not just the United States, the whole world, because they say whatever happens in the United States affects the whole world. The whole world economy was crashing. As our market went down, all the markets throughout the world went down. And the world leaders panicked. They were looking at this harlot, the United States of America, who made them rich, who maintains the riches, and said, uh-oh, the harlot is in trouble. If she falls, we're going down. So Bush calls a meeting. They called it the G20. And they all got together to try to save the harlot. So because if she goes down, a ripple effect, they're all going to go down. That just happened recently. Anybody who knows about the world situation knows the United States, whatever we do, affects the whole world, economically and every other way. That's because this harlot controls the whole world through her money and through her military might. And we're going to go on and read. And they were seduced by her luxuries, her delicacies. Now, chapter 4, we go on to read, it says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, go out from her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Now the angel is warning. She's surely going to be destroyed. She's surely going to be punished. We read about it last week, how it's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to eat her flesh and burn her with fire, limited nuclear strikes. So what is the angel telling the people? Go out from amongst this harlot. Do not live within her. It doesn't necessarily mean you've got to move out of the United States, but I'm going to tell you here, folks, every one of you, what it means. And if you don't listen to what I'm telling you, you're in the harlot. Either you're going to be destroyed by her when the Antichrist comes to power, or later on, and mostly important, you're not going to have a chance to save your soul no matter what if you don't do what I tell you. You're going to be fall prey to the Antichrist, and worse, your soul's going to remain in damnation, and when you die, you're going to go to eternal hell. Here's what he means for us few people, us Catholics, first of all, that are in the United States of America, and any other people of goodwill that are listening to my sermon right now, I'm going to tell you what you need to do, or you're doomed. You're dead, and you're damned, and you're going to be chewed up by the Antichrist. First step you got to do is to remove yourself from obstinate sinners and look at your own self and look at your own vices in light of what the Catholic Church teaches about what is sin and what are the sins you're committing. Not what other people tell you, but what the true teachings of the Catholic Church tells you about sins. The worst being against the first commandment, which is worshiping false gods and false religions. Which means the first thing that you got to do is acknowledge your own sinfulness and your own faithlessness and come into the true Catholic Church before it's too late. convert, come into the Catholic Church. And the only place I know where the Catholic Church's home base is right now is in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Right here with us few. That's where it is. We're teaching you the full deposit of the Catholic faith, and we're not just teaching it to you, we're showing you how to live the Catholic life. So the first thing you got to do is separate yourself from the people that are around you, from these obstinate sinners. Start learning about the Catholic faith and prepare to convert and come into the Catholic Church. And that means that when you become Catholic, and I'll tell you even now, if you're not Catholic yet, but you're not sure about what I'm saying, if it's true or not, please at least acknowledge your sins. Remove yourself from the people around you that are obstinately sinful. Homosexuals, feminists, thieves, murderers, drug addicts, alcoholics. Remove yourself from them and keep yourself isolated and don't socialize with them. What I mean, remove yourself by them, I mean don't socialize with them. You have to work with them and you have to meet them in the streets and you have to be friendly with them to try to, you don't want to be actually necessarily mean to them, but you want to not socialize with them. So that's the first thing you got to do. And then when you come into the Catholic Church, part of coming into the Catholic Church is we tell you, you now can only socialize with good Catholics. That's how you come out of the harlot. These are the first two steps. You socialize only with good Catholics, not even with bad Catholics. Bad Catholics are obstinate Catholics who are obstinate sinners, who are obstinate in their mortal sins and refuse to repent, and who will spread their venom and poison amongst the camp, and then they will bring the harlot into the camp. So then you would be living in the harlot again. These are the first two steps you need to do to come out of the harlot. Then you have to, that means homeschooling your children, if you have a family. Your kids cannot go to any public educational systems. They all are full of heresies, apostasies, idolatries, and immoralities. This is one of the main ways this harlot corrupts your citizens, is through the educational system, and through secret societies, and through, that means from every type of schooling. All right, so you'd have to homeschool your kids and keep them home. It means living frugal. It means learning how to be frugal. Stop being greedy. Stop being materialistic. Stop thinking about how many vacations you want to go on and all these luxurious things that you have. Get rid of those things and live simple. Live frugal. Get ready for the days up ahead because they're soon going to go anyway. And if you're overly attached to them, it's going to cause you to go into such despair, many of you will commit suicide. If the bomb don't get you, suicide will get you. You'll kill yourselves. Because you're going to lose all these things you idolized for so long. And I will say that God is being merciful to you, United States citizens. Right now He is. Why? Because He's giving you subtle warnings. He's telling you through the mortgage crisis in which people are losing their homes. He's telling you through when the gas prices went up real high. They now say people are backing off. They're not spending as much. They're not incurring as much debt. They're worrying. This utopia is quaking a little bit. They're seeing that this is not paradise. That this is not a utopia. That they have to stop spending the money they were. That they have to start saving their money. That they have to start living frugally. It's forcing some people out there who are of goodwill to look into themselves and become less greedy. And hopefully, I say, to the point where you become totally not greedy at all. Stop living just for this world. Start looking at your soul and the eternal fate of your soul. And even those who just lived in this world are going to lose this world anyway because you're going to die. And if you don't, and I'm not just talking about the United States being destroyed. Some of you who are here in my sermon could die tomorrow and you're going to end up in hell. So what good, our Lord says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? All right? So God is so merciful. He's given us these little things to tell people to stop putting your trust in this harlot. She's going to crash. The stock market's going to crash. The banks are going to crash. All the mortgages are going to be called in. You're going to lose everything. I'm warning you ahead of time so the transition is going to be easier for some of you people who are of goodwill so you don't get caught in this mess. Because if you don't get out, many of you are going to go into despair. You're either going to kill yourselves or do something really drastic, which means you're going to become even more evil by going out there and stealing even more. And you'll be so ripe to make a pact with the Antichrist when he comes to power so you can get the luxuries from his hand. All right? So live frugal. And then the last thing I will say in that area is move out of the big cities. If you're living in New York City, if you're living in Los Angeles, if you're living in Washington, D.C., move out of the big cities. If there's no reason why you absolutely have to be there, start doing it now before it's too late. Start getting yourself, get out of here. Why should you want to be around these people that are of the world? These are the main home bases where the harlot corrupts people from. And Antichrist, Chicago, and the Antichrist has all these cities targeted for destruction. I'm warning you. Don't say I didn't warn you. And I'm telling you to move out of the cities not just because Antichrist is going to drop a bomb on it. I will tell you the first reason is for your own soul, please. You should want to be in an area that's not as corrupted. Every place in the United States is corrupted, even the small cities. But like particularly where I'm living, it's less corrupted, much less. I lived in the big city, Newark, New Jersey, and that was hard. Like I say, it's very bad. But where I'm living now was it's so less corrupted. It's still corrupted, but less corrupted. And you have more of a chance to live without being oppressed as people are in the big cities. But I'm telling you also, because the bombs are going to hit the big cities too. Antichrist is going to destroy all the major cities. All right, so I'm giving you a little things that what you got to do. The angel's telling you here, speaking for God, and I'll read it and we'll go on. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, go out from her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Now we're going to read what her plagues are in the next chapter. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and the Lord hath remembered her iniquities. Remember the Lord said, I've heard the cry for the people, that the sins of Sodom have come up to my ears in heaven. She's now filled up the cup of her abominations. And it goes on to say, render to her as she also hath rendered to you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup wherein she hath mingled, mingle ye double unto her. As much as she has glorified herself and lived in delicacies, so much torment and sorrow give ye to her. Because she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and sorrow I shall not see. I have been powerful and prosperous and luxurious all these years. Surely I'm blessed. I'm like a god. Nobody can touch us. We sit in peace and security. Is it not what our Lord warned about, or St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:3? When they shall say peace and security, then shall sudden destruction come upon them, and none shall escape, as the pains of a woman with child. And none shall escape. And that's why you see when we had a few little attacks, which are another acts of mercy of God and her, because they had this big peace and security commission to try to keep us protected. But you're not going to get around this prophecy. The apostate Jews are already planning your downfall. The Talmudic Zionist Jews already got it. It's a done deal. And God told Satan that, yes, Satan, you have the power and the green light. I give you the green light. And Satan then told Jaime the Jew in Brooklyn, or wherever, the big top Jew in the whole world, yes, you have the power. You have the power to destroy this harlot. All right? So we're telling you what's going to happen here. She sits comfortable. She sits full of pride. She thinks nothing's going to happen to her from one day to the next. Even to the point where King David might say, wow, look at all this prosperity. But he would never have gone along with the sins, though. Not that. But they're on the precipice of destruction. And here's her lifting up her arrogance. Right? And that's how Antichrist is going to do the same thing. And he's going to fall later on. Now, we go on to read. It says, and she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and sorrow I shall not see. Because she's had no catastrophes, no major, like the World War. She's really resting in what you would say, confidence and security. She is. And false prosperity, plenty. What? Okay, chapter 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be burnt with the fire, because God is strong, who shall judge her. Burnt with the fire. We read about that in the other verses, Apocalypse 17. Will it eat her flesh and burn her with fire? This is the word of God, folks. It's referring to these days. You got to be a brainless idiot if you don't understand what I'm saying. But you're not a brainless idiot. The reason you're not going to want to understand what I'm saying is because you have a bad will and because you have a bad heart, because you're committing one or more sins, mortal sins against God's commandments, and you don't want to stop committing those sins. And so therefore, you're going to ignore what I'm saying. You're going to twist it. You're going to try to make like it means something different because you don't want to believe it. The defect is never in man's understanding. It's always in his heart. If you have a rotten heart, if you're a rotten rebel at heart and full of pride and greed, and you're not going to listen to what I'm saying. I'm just praying maybe God will punish some of you people that are like that right now to bring you down in the dust so that you can start to look at the things that really matter. Your soul and the eternal fate of your soul. Your soul is going to live forever, and you only have two choices when you die where you're going to end up for all eternity. It's either eternal hell, damned with all the devils and damned humans in hell, or you're going to be in heaven for all eternity in the new earth which will be created, this new paradise. Now we're going to go on to read. He says, her plague shall come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be burnt with the fire, because God is strong, who shall judge her. That's one day. That was my thing I mentioned last week, but I do believe it's going to be such a lightning strike attack that it's going to almost happen, if not literally in one day, very close to that. Now we go to verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived in delicacies with her shall weep and bewail themselves over her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off in fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, New York City in the United States, that mighty city, New York City in the United States, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. In 1 hour you wake up, you go to sleep in prosperity, you wake up in total desolation in 1 hour. And these are the merchants that have been made rich by her whoredoms and her luxuries and her greed and her money, who bit the bullet and got in bed with this harlot. And they're going to mourn and weep, just like they were weeping when the G20 got together and it wasn't too small neither, because if they didn't correct things and bring the gasoline prices down and correct what was wrong, there would have been already a crash. But the Jews are already preparing for a crash to happen. It's the Antichrist who is going to allow this crash to happen. And I believe he's even going to have some type of a stock market and a banking crash before this happens. All right, you are going to see that. But just look at how all the world leaders panic. Anytime something happens to the United States, they start shaking. You know, our padron is losing his power. He's no longer going to be able to give us money and luxury and wealth and pornography. He's not going to be able to defend us. What's going to happen? But a new padron is going to come along. And he's even worse than a harlot. He's the Antichrist. But we'll get into that later. All right? And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man shall buy their merchandise anymore. Now, we're going to read in these next two verses how rich she is. She's this power base of all the economy. She has fine gems. She has fine furniture. She has, let's go on, it describes it in verse 12, merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones. Think of the Diamond District in Lower Manhattan, totally controlled by the Jews. The Garment District is, not the Garment District, I said the Diamond. Now, the Garment District, that's controlled by the Jews. The Jews control all these things. But they're going to destroy them within New York City, though, because they're using them also to bribe people. That the Jews has, that's what the Jews doing. He's really, who's behind the harlot is the Antichrist, who is the Jew. And it says, her merchandise of gold and silver, her precious stones and pearls, and fine linen and purple, and silk and scarlet, and thy fine wood, and the manner of vessels of ivory, and manner of vessels of precious stone, of brass, and of iron, and marble. All these things come out of New York City. The richest place in the world that has all these luxuries and cinnamon spices and cinnamon odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil, fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses. Look at all the plenty in the United States, all the corn, all the wheat. Or go into any supermarket, they're packed to the gills with food. The United States has plenty. But this is the harlot we're talking about. This is not a blessing. This is a curse. It's false prosperity. People will look at this and say, like these wicked, rotten popes and bishops in the 1800s say, it looks like the United States is prospering, God's with her. How could God be with a country that has no room for Christ the King and her constitution, and she supports a heretical democracy? Democracy is heretical intrinsically by its mere nature. Not all men are equal. God only supports hierarchical order. The United States has right in her constitution, all religions have a right to exist in a state. That's condemned. That's heresy. I don't care how prosperous this harlot is. A harlot is a harlot is a harlot. I spit on your prosperity. I'll live in a pig pen if I have to, rather than to be able to partake in your harlotries. You're not going to bribe a good Catholic, but you certainly bribed a lot of nominal and bad Catholics in the 1700s and 1800s when these guys lost the faith anyway because they were worthy of being deceived. I just got to look at what you're preaching, and you can't offer me anything to make up for that. That tells me your true nature. St. Paul said even if an angel should come down from heaven, who's more glorious than anything on earth and appear to be an angel from heaven, preaching another gospel, anathema! Anathema to the United States! I say triple anathema from the very day she was created, this harlot! Alright? Triple anathema! And get away from your, oh, we got all this food and we got all this luxury. So what? Abraham and his motley crew did not have what Egypt had, but they had a lot as far as materialism is concerned. But spiritually, he had everything. He had an inner peace, and he had miracles, and he had a true prosperity that only God could give to his chosen people. An inner peace in the heart that nothing in this world can ever take away from a good Catholic. Now we're going to go on and read in chapter 13, and cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and horses. That represents military might She's a military power. She's the dominant military power. Back then, when you had a chariot, that's like having a tank. And not even a tank anymore, folks. The tanks are now outdated. Now we're talking about missiles, guided missiles and helicopters and airplanes that are even stronger than tanks. Tanks are even being outdated. But that really represents military dominance, military power. So if the United States doesn't influence you by money, she's going to send her army and influence you through her military or through supporting coups in other countries and sending them weapons. And it says, and slaves and souls of men. Now here it says, she has the souls of men and she makes them slaves. And how does she make them slaves? By promising liberty. Promising him liberty all the time and freedom. But what kind of liberty and freedom is she promising men? Liberty and freedom from obeying God's commandments. Liberty and freedom from obeying God. And then the liberty and freedom to obey Satan whatever you want. Satan is the one now who's being obeyed in his commandments. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter 2:19, promising them liberty, whereas they themselves are slaves of corruption? All right, and then you people might say, we're not slaves, Richard. We're free men. We can go around and do whatever we want. I can go to filthy movies. I can fornicate with my neighbor's wife. I can be a homosexual. I can be a drug addict. I can be a robber. I can be a liar. I can be a cheater. We're free. And what did Jesus say in John 8:34? Whoever committed sin is a slave of sin. It's the same thing the Jews said to Jesus when he said, you're not free men, you're slaves because you don't believe in me. You don't have the faith. Every non-Catholic is a slave to Satan. And every Catholic living in mortal sins against the natural commandments is a slave to Satan. So what it's saying in here, these people, this harlot makes them slaves. And the souls of men, it makes slaves. And it promises them liberty and freedom from God. But it really shackles you with Satan. There's no such thing as what they call this type of freedom and liberty. You don't have to obey any. But there's only two kingdoms ultimately, really. Even though the people that are Satan, serving Satan can't see it. Satan is the king of all non-Catholics. And he's the king even of Catholics who are in mortal sin. He rules all them and he really manipulates them as much as God allows them to do. And the other kingdom is Christ's kingdom. And that's the Catholic Christ who can only be found in the Catholic Church. But she enslaves the souls of men by her harlotries. While promising them liberty. Now we go on to chapter 14. And the fruits of the desire of thy soul are departed from thee, and all fat and goodly things are perished from thee, and they shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who were made rich by thee shall stand afar off from her for fear of her torments, weeping and mourning. Oh, our party's over, our party's over. And then Antichrist comes to power and says, not so, I will now come in and bring order where there was now chaos. All right? And it goes on to say, and saying, alas, alas, that great city, which was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and was gilt with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour are so great riches come to naught. And every shipmaster and all that sail into the lake and mariners and as many as work in the sea stood afar off. She's a major exporter of stuff through seaports. Look at all her major ports in the United States, in New York, in Newark, New Jersey, Louisiana, and all the major ports. She's the most powerful seaports in the world, the most richest seaports in the world. That's where she's exporting her stuff out through ship, these ships. And cried, seeing the place of her burning, saying, what city is like to this great city? What city was like to this great city, which is now in ashes, is done, it's destroyed. And they cast dust upon their heads and cried, weeping and mourning, saying, alas, alas, the great city, wherein all were made rich, that had ships at the sea by reason of her prices. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven and ye holy apostles and prophets. I will rejoice in that day so greatly. Boy, that's going to be one of my big rejoice days because Rome's going to fall then too at the same time. Apostate Rome and the Vatican will fall at the same time. And I'm going to rejoice even more for that. You think I'm going to worry about it, right? I said before, I told the brothers, I could picture myself out there fishing maybe. I don't even fish, but I like to go fishing once in a while. I always say I'm going to never do it. But maybe that day I'll be fishing. And the brother's going to come out and say, hey, Richard, New York City, all the major cities are blown up, and the Vatican City went down. And I say, shut up and leave me alone, I got a fish on a hook. Wait till I come in and then tell me. But Richard, don't that mean nothing to you? No, I told you it was going to happen anyway. Big deal. It's nothing new to me. Mm-hmm. But what I really am going to do is rejoice. I really will. I'm going to stop my fishing, come in, and we're going to have a party. Because then there might be a hope for some of you people that are left sitting in the dust to convert also. First, I'm going to have a party because this harlot who is blaspheming God will be destroyed, even though she's being destroyed by another evildoer. But I will also rejoice because it's going to be the only hope for converting a lot of you people out there. Because until these toys are taken away from you, until these luxuries are taken away from you, you're not going to really look at the true God and start thinking about your soul. So again, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye apostles and prophets, for God hath judged your judgment on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, as it were a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, with such violence as this shall Babylon the great city be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. New York City may not only burn, it may even go under the sea. We don't know about that. But we know it's definitely going to be totally devastated. And major cities in the United States. And the voice of the harpers, here's again, and verse 22. And the voice of the harpers and of musicians and of them that play on the pipe and on the trumpet shall no more be heard in thee, and no craftsman or any art whatsoever shall be found any more in thee. She's the center of the arts and the music and plays. Is that not the United States? That she's the center of all these things? Of music, Carnegie Hall, and all the big places in the United States, and all the plays that take place on Broadway. She's the center of the arts and crafts. And the sound of the mill shall be heard no more, and neither shall be no more producing, neither of these. No more productions. 23. And the light of the lamp shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and all the nations have been deceived by thy enchantments. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Because she was the instrument that the devil always uses throughout all the seven successive kingdoms to persecute and destroy and kill the prophets. And then when she, and it says right here, you're reading about this, also the Statue of Liberty, which represents this harlot, that's what that Statue of Liberty is. They even have it in their Freemasonic societies. They call it like Lady Liberty or something. There's a word for it, whatever it is. But when you look at that harlot, that's the harlot, the Babylonian harlot in Harvard. That's going to go down. All right? And she's responsible. That's what tells you folks the United States is even worse than Soviet communism. Much worse. Because she's more deceptive. Soviet communism was in your face. In your face. She came right and told you what she was. She was a beast too, yes, being used to bring the Antichrist to power, but not as bad as the USA, who looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. This is the one who's being spoken of in here, not even Soviet communism. And let my sermon go out to some of you Soviet people to realize what's going on out there, you Russians, to get away from not only this harlot, but the Antichrist, which is being run by Talmudic and Zionist Jews. And come into the Catholic Church before it's too late to find your only hope of salvation and to be able to fight against the Antichrist in these days. Now, that's the end of the book of the Apocalypse 18. But the story's not over, folks. Because then somebody even worse comes to power. And that's called the Antichrist, who's going to reign in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to be an apostate Talmudic Jew. And he's going to force all the nations then to worship him as if he were God. And that's what we're going to go into in our next sermon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.